Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking again with Andy Williams. He's the CEO of Medicine Man Technologies. The stock symbol is MDCL, over the counter. Andy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jack.
So, Andy, you know, every time we do one of these interviews, you know, Medicine Man is reporting some, you know, major growth. You're growing like weeds, no pun intended. So I should note for our audience very importantly that, you know, since our first interview, which was back, you know, was it five, six months ago, December 2018, and also some of the follow-up interviews, you've actually, you and the company, you guys have delivered on the promises. So, you know, everything discussed in these interviews, has actually been done. So, which, I think investors are looking forward to see where you're going next. You know, the stock has picked up from, you know, about $1.25. Your recent high of about 4.17. So you've had some, you know, key major announcements recently. So, you know, that's really going to be the focus of our discussion today. So I think the key areas of interest for investors right now that let's go into is one is the recently announced full year 2018 results. You reported, what is it, 9.4 million sales, income almost 2.2 million.
That's right.
And which is
it's a bit of a unicorn in the marijuana world, right?
Yes, profits.
Yeah.
So that, which is, yeah, that's up significantly from 17. And then most importantly is what's coming up next, which is these you know, the transformative acquisitions that you have of, you know, MedFarm Holdings and Medicine Man Denver. So, and there's been some legislation, which is very important to the story. So we'll talk about that. So, so before we dive into all this, you know, for anybody that's new to the story, Andy, can you tell us what does Medicine Man Technologies do?
Sure. So Medicine Man Technologies, was formed in, 2014. I co-founded this with the late Brett Roper. And we started this based on the experience that I had gained the previous 5 years from 2009 to 2014, being one of the, you know, pioneers in the cannabis industry in Colorado. And the company there is Medicine Man. And so that Medicine Man is a cultivator and retailer of cannabis in Colorado. Medicine Man Technologies was based on the knowledge that we learned there, and it was started as a consulting company, helping people that had the desire and the business acumen and the money to get into the space that didn't have the know-how, and we provided the know-how because a lot of states were passing their own regulations and people wanted to do it, and they wanted some help figuring out exactly how to grow cannabis industrially and retail it. And so we started helping people, and we've helped over 100 clients now in 18 states and in 7 countries. And, you know, have developed a lot of expertise over the years, not just winning licenses, but, you know, running different types of operations, et cetera. And, you know, but one of the reasons that we started the company, and if you read our original S-1, because I know that's really exciting to do, we stated in there that someday we intended to buy Medicine Man and other marijuana holdings in Colorado when the laws allowed it. But as a lot of people may know, Colorado's laws do not allow for public, or up till now, did not allow public company ownership of cannabis licenses. So we were precluded from doing that. And as you discussed, there's been some legislation that I've been working on for a number of years now that we finally put passed, and it was House Bill 191090.
And this is last Saturday.
Yeah. This finally passed, and the governor has publicly stated he's in favor of it and will sign it. And so it's on his desk, but House Bill 191090 removes the restriction that disallowed public company ownership of cannabis licenses. And when this bill is effective, it will be allowed. And Medicine Man Technologies is in a very unique position to roll up the best and the brightest of really the cannabis industry worldwide, because that's what Colorado has, the most experienced operators, the most tried and true brands and products, the most experienced operations, or the most, you know, sophisticated operations. And these are all the people that I've been building this industry with for 10 years. So they trust us and they know us. And we should be able to put together an amazing company with a very deep reach in Colorado in terms of market share. And we can grow the company nationally from there with the best and the brightest. So we are very excited about doing that. And Medicine Man and Med Farm are our first two announcements towards that end.
So let's talk about those two businesses. Let's maybe if you can, you know, address, you know, each one, you know, one at a time.
Yeah. So Medicine Man, remember I said, is a cultivation retailer. Four retail locations, one large cultivation. And, you know, it does about, you know, this year probably be $24, $25 million in revenue with, you know, about 22% EBITDA from that company. MedFarm is a marijuana-infused product company. So MedFarm extracts from plants and makes products and sells them into the recreational and medical market in Colorado. And, you know, by the end of the year, they just started selling products last March. They're already up to, by the end of this year, they'll be at about a $6 million run rate. They've just become profitable. They'll be quite profitable by the end of the year to the tune of about 30, 35% EBITDA and continue to grow. But MedFarm has a lot more.
35% EBITDA. This is for MedFarm.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's, you know, right now they're still growing as a new company, but that'll be the margins once it's a little bit more mature, I think, by the end of the year. But they're a lot more than just a manufacturer. They're also the only research licensee in the world, or in the United States, that's tied to a marijuana license. They have license literally 0001 from the state of Colorado, as well as, of course, the marijuana license. And that allows them to work directly with clinical researchers on cannabis research. And they already have a number of patents that are pending for the work they're doing, and including a water-soluble powder for cannabis that takes the oil that's extracted from the plant and creates a water-soluble powder out of it in any combination of cannabinoids that is desired, and it's colorless and odorless and tasteless and leaves no residue. So it's, you know, they're doing some pretty great things. But on the research side, they have their first clinical research project teeing up and ready to go on dementia and Alzheimer's, and they're going to continue to do some fantastic research. So I think, you know, that company has a real opportunity to help humankind, and of course I think that'll be profitable for the company as well.
So that's pretty interesting. So let's maybe talk a little bit more about MedFarm, because we you know, in our last interview when you mentioned the acquisition, we didn't, I don't think we got into too much detail. So you're saying, well, the first thing that kind of got my attention is the numbers here. So you're saying you're expecting it to have a run rate of about 6 million with an EBITDA of 35%.
Yeah, I said 30 to 35.
30
to
35, okay.
Yeah.
In, you said 2019?
Yeah, by the end of 2019. And those numbers will, the revenue numbers will continue to grow.
Okay. So what kind of products, you know, what are some of the products that they're selling now? And, you know, what's
sure.
kind of the, yeah.
Let me, I think it's helpful to describe how this company started and the partners involved in it. This started actually with my first consulting client back in 2014, a gentleman named T.J. Johnsrud, and he owns a group called Natera Pharmacies. He himself, at the time, was a 42-year compound pharmacist, and now 47 years, I guess, or something around there. And he owns 37 compound pharmacies and pharmacies around the country, and is a celebrated compound pharmacist, Lifetime Achievement Awards and whatnot. He was on the U.S. Pharmacopeia's Board of Advisors to bring cannabis back in. A very, very well-respected compound pharmacist and devoted his life to medicine. And he wrote a white paper that he needed to for getting a license in Illinois and how he wanted to advance the science of cannabis. And when I read it as his consultant, it inspired me. And I said, TJ, we need to do this. And his simple answer was, okay, let's do it. And so what that was a research company in cannabis. And And so working together, we had to figure out what is a research company in cannabis. It's never been done before. And, you know, in the private world, and how do we make money and how do we attract investors? And along the way, we met a gentleman named Chris Nelson, who owns Kemin Industries, also out of Iowa. And Kemin is one of the world's leading plant extractors. They grow plants in 15 countries, or I think more now, on 6 continents. And they extract from those plants and make ingredients for nutraceuticals and animal feed and pet food and other things, you know, human food. And he sells 3.7 billion doses of his ingredients on a daily basis. Now, this is not cannabis, but they're plants. He's arguably one of the world's leading plant extractors. And so that formed the partnership, the three-legged stool of MedFarm. And we did figure out, we actually ran and passed legislation to create a research license type that freed us up to do work with clinical researchers. We hired a 35-year compound pharmacist on the staff, TJ. We have, you know, PhD chemists and other chemists, and other, you know, bioscience folks that are on the team. We have a GMP-certified facility. That we have an ISO 5 clean room so we can make sterile dosage forms like injectables and eye drops and ear drops for use in research only, not sold over the counter. And so a lot of work and a lot of money and a lot of planning went into this. And so, as you might understand, our company is very pharma-based, and we have products that are on that side of the house. So we have a tincture that's a best-selling tincture in Colorado that is a, you know, a 20-to-1 CBD to THC, and I know is used to treat, you know, people use it for their own conditions. And of course, I can't say that it, I'm not allowed to say that it's good for this or good for that, but anyway, it's the number one selling tincture in Colorado. We have vaporizers that are, you know, vaporizer pens for smoking the oil of cannabis. We have pills, we have creams, and other things of the like. And so the products are extremely well formulated, you know, by a 35-year compound pharmacist. They're very effective, you know, for the people that are buying them, and have generated a lot of excitement in Colorado. So, you know, that's how we keep the lights on. That's how we make money. And, you know, behind the scenes, research is our real purpose there. And we are on the cutting edge of the research side of cannabis in the United States.
So, so like right now, basically these you're selling, you know, over the counter products, but you mentioned, you know, you're working on a, doing some clinical research with, you know, for dementia and Alzheimer's potential treatment.
That's right.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Our scientists have created a formulation using cannabinoids, as well as other excipients that are found outside of the cannabis plants that have known positive effects on the brain. And they've put those together in a formulation that we believe will improve the life of the standard of living of people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And while we've done some of our own anecdotal studies, I guess is the best way to do it, we need to do a clinical trial that's run by a third party, because, you know, we can't put out things and say, hey, this is what we did. We need to have somebody else say that for us. And so we've teed up a research study with our formulation, and we are now looking at third-party providers of clinical research to see if we can find the right partner so we can have brain scans and other things along the way. But it'll be a double-blind placebo study with some brain scans along the way so we can monitor the physical health of the brain as this is happening as well. That project is scheduled to be kicked off sometime this summer. And the initial study is going to be 1 year. And based on the results of that, we'll probably do a follow-on study that's a little bit longer with a higher patient base count. And from there, we can make a decision if we want to you know, take the results and make the claims that we can from the study results, which I think are going to be very good, and or move into FDA trials beyond that.
Okay. Now, you know, so right, I mean, right now there is no, you know, effective treatment for, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's.
That's correct.
So what kind of, now, What kind of results kind of have you seen, anecdotally from cannabis?
Well, we have a partner in Illinois and then also here in Colorado. We used slightly different versions of this formulation, and we've seen people that are communicating more. We've seen people that are remembering better and interacting with their loved ones better, things like that. And that just gives us a lot of hope. And it's not just a little bit. We've seen that, but we have to be able to prove it now. And so, I cannot make any claims for this formulation whatsoever, and I want to be able to. And so, being able to prove that not only are what we're seeing happening, but maybe why it's happening, and what's happening in the brain when this formulation is taken. So, I don't have a lot of data right now, but that's why we do the research, so we can get the data, and we can make some conclusions from it, or not.
Okay. Would you consider, at some point partnering with a pharmaceutical company or, another partner to develop this?
I welcome that. I absolutely welcome that. One of the things as being an early adopter of really the only research licensee in the country is that people have to learn about us. And some of the best way for them to learn about us is, of course, talking about it, but then doing our own research and finding research partners that will do it for us. We have to be careful not to influence the results of the research, but having third-party researchers do it and publish the papers will bring attention to our company and our abilities, so that some of these other researchers or pharma companies out there that are interested in this type of work will want to partner with us to do it. We have unique capabilities, unique facilities, and we can add a lot of value to somebody wanting to do cannabis research.
So, I guess to sum up, what is, there's, a lot of companies kind of getting into the cannabis pharmaceutical area. What is it that, what's your key advantage that you have for a potential pharmaceutical partner?
Well, so one, right now, a lot, if you are federally funded and you want to do cannabis research, the only place that you can get your cannabis is from the University of Mississippi. And if you do a little research on the cannabis that's provided from the University of Mississippi, it's not what you want, it's what you get. And what you get, if there's a Washington Post story, I think it is from Sicily, she had their product tested, and if I tested in high as molds and mildews as their product did, I wouldn't be in business. And so you're getting marijuana that, one, isn't to your specifications, and two, really shouldn't be consumed by humans. And so we provide the ability to make any dosage form that a researcher would want. You just don't get cannabis from us. While you can get cannabis from any multitude of strains that we have in our control, but you can also get pills. You can get powder that's water soluble. We can make an IV. We can make eye drops. We can make ear drops. We can make, creams. We can make cannabis in any form that a researcher wants, in any combination of cannabinoids that they want. And we can do it in a GMP certified facility. And in Colorado, because we have a research license, we can do it outside of the closed loop regulatory system that Colorado has for all of the medical and recreational marijuana companies. So that's a little bit confusing, and maybe I probably shouldn't get into that, but that's a big deal, because we can provide the researchers directly with their dosage forms without having to go through a dispensary.
It's this part of your business is, I think, pretty interesting. I don't think it's really been discussed too much, but for investors in the space, I mean, this could be a potentially assuming you make progress with this, it could be a huge winner. I mean, when you compare other companies, what is it, GW Pharma, I think, has had a major hit, in the area. So there's, the pharmaceutical potential could be bigger than the everything else you're doing right now.
Absolutely. And I believe that with all my heart. But if you invest in the company, you're also investing in, you know, operators that have been in this business for 10 years, that have had to make money to survive, that know how to make a profit, and that's the focus of their business, not market share, not footprint or things like that around the nation. A lot of these companies are going, you know, very shallow in states and very wide in terms of footprint, because that makes a big splash in the market. We would like a big footprint as well, but we want to do it responsibly, focused on the bottom line. And with our expertise and our experience and our reputation, you know, the growth of this company will be much more responsible, because, I mean, let's just be honest. You know, when people are looking at an operating partner as states come online or new companies get involved, are you going to go to somebody who's buying their way into this industry and doesn't know much more about it than you? Or are you going to go to somebody who knows what they're doing, has been making a profit for a long time, and has experience in all aspects of this industry? And so I think our expansion to other states and even other countries will be far less dilutive than other companies in this space.
Okay. So on that note, what about Medicine Man Denver? That's the cultivation business that's doing, you said, $25 million revenue right now?
Yeah, by the end of the year, about a $25 million run rate.
Okay, and with some pretty strong, what is it, 20?
Right now, $20 million or so. I think last year was 17 or 18, and there's been an uptick in business this year, and then they also just added a new store that should add about $5 million to the top line.
Okay, how many retail stores does the company have?
Four right now.
Okay. All these deals, what's the exact timeline? When are these deals supposed to close?
The next deals are going to close that I've talked about. One, Med Farm has actually two companies. One is the license holder and one is the management company. The management company of Med Farm, which accounts for about 40% of the total revenue of the company, but also owns all the intellectual property and whatnot. That will probably close. It'll close when due diligence is done and the audits are done, and those are in progress right now. And of course, the Colombian deal that we're working on will probably close similar time frame, but you know, when due diligence is done and audits are done. The Colorado operations that will be rolling up this year, including Medicine Man and the license holder for Med Farm, the timeline on that is, one, the governor is going to sign the bill here shortly, and the government has, the Marijuana Enforcement Division has 45 days to promulgate rules. And then the bill becomes effective November 1st, and at that time, companies that want to go public as a cannabis company can file for suitability, and then also for change of licenses or change of ownership. Those can be filed simultaneously, and they're both 90-day processes. And so really, realistically, we're looking at about February 1st for all of the Colorado license acquisitions to be completed.
So February 1st, next 2020 is
2020.
When the law will actually allow you to close the deals.
That's correct. There's a lot of planning that's going to be going on between now and then for integration, because, you know, my plan is not to stop at just Medicine Man and the license holder for Med Farm. My plan is to do more, and we'll be announcing those deals over this year as they're made, if they're made. And then integration planning will begin early summer, so that when these deals happen, we can have a smooth transition into one company.
Okay.
And of course, we'll be looking for other deals in other states as well, but right now our focus is Colorado.
Okay. So what other types of opportunities, you know, would you be looking at in terms of, you know, acquisitions?
This year or around the country?
Let's talk about this year, and then we could talk about, you know, nationally.
Well, what I look for in acquisitions in Colorado, a strategy is to look at where their retail locations are located and make sure that they, you know, match up with our, you know, we don't want to get two stores necessarily right on top of each other's. And we're looking for capabilities that we don't currently have or market segments that we don't currently have. And so MedFarm, while it's got the market covered on the pharma side of the world, when you look at the recreational side where you have gummies or chocolates or bath bombs or things like that where we're not developing products, it would be great to acquire a company that is, a market leader in those segments. And then, of course, you look for different types of market segments, whether it's different types of extractions or extraction capacity, because we'll be doing a tremendous amount of volume. So there's different strategic goals that we're trying to accomplish with our acquisitions, including market share.
Okay. And you mentioned a acquisition in Colombia. What is that about?
Yeah, that's actually came with MedFarm. We are continuing the conversations that MedFarm began with a group in Colombia who is looking for us to acquire their licenses there. They're fully licensed, everything from cultivation to export, including research. And there's some great partners there that have some great assets that are in place that we can use for cultivation and some pretty great businessmen involved. So, you know, that's something that we're looking very closely at right now, and quite honestly, we'll complete if all goes well with the deal.
Okay, so let's kind of wrap up. Two more questions here. What do you expect Medicine Man to look like by this time next year? So let's say we're speaking again. It's almost May 1st. What's the company going to look like in terms of revenues, earnings, etc.?
Yeah, I know I can't get into specifics on this, but my goal is that Medicine Man Technologies will be one of the leading revenue generators in the industry worldwide and will be profitable minus the one-time costs of the acquisitions and whatnot that will be occurring. That will be occurring this year. And so we will be one of the largest in revenue. We will be profitable and quite honestly, best set up for future growth in the world. Now, this is my goal, my vision is, when I look back to Prohibition and you look at the Coors or the Anheuser-Busch or Budweiser, I mean, you name it, Jack Daniels that came out of Prohibition. We want to be one of the big companies that come out of the Prohibition of cannabis.
Well, on that note, Andy, I want to thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to hearing more in the months ahead.
I look forward to keeping you updated, and I do appreciate you pointing out that everything that I've said so far has come to pass.
Thank you again.